You're listening to No Plot, Only Lore, a podcast about games and the tables we play them at. Your DMs tonight and every night are Josh and Chris. You can find us on all podcast platforms or check us out at noplotonlylore.com. If you like what you hear today, please rate and review the show and share it with everyone you've ever met.
Welcome back to No Plot, Only Lore, this week brought to you by the Village of Hap. Hap wants you to know that they are happy to meet every adventurer's needs while encouraging you to explore the ruins and tunnel system under Haptooth Hill. Come back after a hard day's adventure to rest in the serene valley left by woodcutters and herb growers as they settled in the area, who now have taken to commerce and trade. So please, visit Hap. That's H-A-P, Hap.
Question. Do I have to worry about drow?
There used to be a slight, tiny, maybe kind of drow problem, but that's ages past now, long dealt with. You're not a problem.
There's a tower in Hap called the Tower of Drakandos, and Drakandos sounds like a drow name to me.
It was, but the adventurers who came to, you know, check out the tunnel system, overthrew him for the out of the goodness of their hearts.
Just nobody decided to rename the tower named after the drow tyrant that took over their town.
Listen, it had a name. Everyone was used to calling it that name. It's one of those things where, like, we don't really want to deal with the uncomfortable legacy of our naming convention.
That's like people taking down statues of, like, John A. McDonald.
Yeah.
Canada, and like half of the people are freaking out and half of the... Can you imagine the people in Hap being like, no, you can't rename the Tower of Drakandos because it's an important part of our history.
Well, we're in the process of renaming Oliver, like, as a area in our city, because it turns out Mr. Oliver may have kind of been a huge piece of shit. I'm very familiar with this kind of issue being brought up.
We have to keep having those conversations in my area because Cook was not a good dude.
No.
But if we change all of the things that are named after Cook, we have to have a really hard look at everything named after Vancouver as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that are named after Vancouver that if we changed them, it would just, like, literally change the map. Like, you can't just change the entire name of the city of Vancouver and have anybody take that seriously.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody is just going to keep calling it Vancouver with no real consideration for the historical basis of the name. I guess the Tower of Drakandos is safe.
We've been at it far too long to change.
Yeah, I love the idea of, like, a bunch of really conservative people, like, living in the town of Hap, fighting against, like, a community that's like, hey, so we should maybe, like, consider renaming the tower that was built by our drow overlords.
Just a thought.
You know, we canceled him real hard, and then we just left the tower.
It seems fine. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Welcome to Cosby Place.
So, I was going to say, like, so my address is 231 O.J. Simpson Drive.
All right. So on a related note to sex pests and murderers.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see you tie this one in.
D&D for kids. that's the whole thing. That's the whole segue.
I wanted
to talk about D&D with kids today, and then we went on a tangent.
Yeah, but you're the one who chose that segue, which, like...
I guess, yeah.
Anyways. All right. Speaking nothing about sex pests, children.
Right, children. this is This has been fun.
This is the end of the show. We're getting
this
thrown
is the
off
episode
here.
Where we get canceled. Yeah.
Children are the future.
They are, and they're the future of this hobby and every other hobby. And I think kids should and can and will and do play D&D.
So, okay, just while you said that, a thought occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, our famous tangent spree. Mm-hmm. But would you be okay? Well, not okay, but would you be understanding if the next generation just did not pick up D&D?
Yeah.
Like, it just missed them completely, and they were like, nope. And then that was kind of the end of it for a while.
I think that I would be okay with that. And okay. The reason that I would be okay with that is because, like, every piece of art has the zeitgeist in which it was built. Mm-hmm. Right? And, like, kids aren't playing Tiddlywinks anymore.
No, that's true.
Right? And, like, Tiddlywinks used to be fucking huge.
Yeah, it was all some kids did for, like, entire weekends or whatever.
Yeah. Pogs. When I was a kid, were like a huge fad. And I'm not saying that D&D is a fad. I think that it's definitely outlasted fad territory.
Oh, sure.
Having been like the 50-year juggernaut that it is. But if the kids of the next generations don't pick it up, I will assume that it is because it no longer fits the world in which they live. Right? Like, it's no longer a thing that resonates with them in the same way that it did with us, and that's okay. They're going to find their own things.
Yeah, definitely.
I would be a little sad for the loss of opportunity to play with new and interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 'Cause, like, well, one of the reasons that I like playing D&D with kids is because they always bring to it like a fresh perspective that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And losing that in future games would be something that I would miss, but, like, I'd still be playing D&D, and everybody that I know who plays would still be playing D&D. We're like, this is our retirement plan. Like, you and I are going to get into the same old folks home so that we can just roll dice and argue about stupid shit. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the plan.
I can and will be moving in with my entire board game collection.
Acceptable. I don't know where we're going to find room for it, but we'll figure it out.
It'll be in my room. I will have almost no personal space, and then, you know, just a massive stack of cardboard.
I just assumed that we'd be in, like, the old folks' home side by side in those, like, hospital beds. You just with, like, this pile of fucking board games, and me with, like, bookshelves and reams of, like, D&D shit. Yeah. I think, like, there was part of me that was worried that it would bounce off of my son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, it still might. He does not seem like he is going to suddenly pick up sports ball as a form of, like, rebellion against me.
Unfortunate.
It could still happen.
Yeah.
He might just decide, like, to make my dad pay, I'm gonna, like, have him come to my soccer tournaments. But, like, he doesn't like to be outside too much, and he doesn't like running, so I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, two big prerequisites for soccer.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And my kids have, I don't say they fully bounced off of it, but they definitely just aren't that interested, you know?
Right.
So it made me wonder, like, is this something that we even need to concern ourselves with? Because kids just don't give a shit anymore.
I think, like, my kid did not bounce off.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was a little concerned that he wouldn't because, like, I have all of these resources and it's, like, it's a great experience and I'd love to be able to share that with him.
Yeah.
But, like, not being able to, I'd be like, yeah, that kind of sucks. No, he fucking glomped onto it. And, like, my kid is a little grumpy that he is a forever DM. He was so stoked to get into the middle school D&D club because he was under the impression that there would be older kids in the D&D club that would be, like, running the games.
Right.
He would have an opportunity to be a player.
Nope. And he was wrong. Yeah.
He was absolutely incorrect.
The school D&D club needed a DM.
Yeah. And it turned out to be him. And so he is the DM at his school D&D club. And like his friends play. They're quite into it. They actually like play on the weekends as well. So like they have the D&D club meetings and then they also play on the weekends sometimes. And,
okay.
So like he's in it.
Yeah.
And he's at the age now where I think like this is where you start to like build the things that are going to be a part of your life forever.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Like this was the age where I latched onto fantasy books. Right. This is the age where I first started playing D&D myself. And like for me, all of that became very definitive in my personality. And so I think Thor is carrying that torch.
Okay.
In a big way. And I'm a little wondering, like, your kid's reaction to it is just like they're kind of meh, or
so we've run like a couple little small adventures together, mm-hmm. and like they always have fun while it's happening, but I think it's more because it just like enjoys spending time with their dad and having, you know, goofing off. Okay. And they rarely, if ever, ask to like sit down and do it again or show any interest in like exploring, you know, okay. character creation and stuff like that. So I don't really know what they want from me.
One of the things that I found is that like Thor, he likes playing. He doesn't really like playing with me. Right. Like he would rather be doing other things with me than playing role-playing games. It's when he started playing with his friends that it really clicked.
Maybe that's a significant part of the problem, is that once they leave my house, any semblance of nerdiness kind of vanishes into the ether. Like, they, you know, my son will play Minecraft at his mom's house, but that's about it, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I think someone bought him some Pokemon cards one time.
Yeah. The dynamic is different for my family. So Thor's mom is a nerd.
Yeah.
And like there have been times that I've showed up to like drop Thor off or pick him up, and like she's had Dimension 20 playing in the background. So like he's catching it from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. And like me and my ex are very much polar opposites on that. I mean, you know, never like this. My ex barely has actual individual hobbies, let alone like nerdy hobbies.
Yeah. So I think that's probably part of it, is just like the environments in which Thor is steeped are both like incredibly nerdy.
Yeah.
And like he watches his mom play like D&D with her friends online. I usually schedule mine so that he's not around while I'm playing them. Maybe I should just start involving him more in like my games, but
maybe,
yeah. So like he's around for her games. He plays his own games. So we have a lot of that. How are they on board games?
They love board games with me. They play tons of board games with me.
Okay. So I think that might just be like your love of board games is a lot higher than your love of role playing games.
True.
And I think that might just be shining through. Right, where it's just like that's where your nerd flag flies, and mine has always been much more in like the role playing game dimension.
I guess they are like perpetually surrounded by board games, so
yeah,
it's hard to escape.
Yeah, where like mine are tucked away in a closet right now.
Yeah,
I really need to get that out.
Literally, just pivoting my head right now, I can see 8 different board games just to the left and right of me. And that's not the ones that are like on the shelf behind me and like actually put away.
I am not in my house. I am currently surrounded by someone else's laundry. it's all clean. It's just in a pile. Yeah. So I do think that like one of the things that is going to be important for the next generation to pick up role-playing games is like having that friend factor involved, right? Like you and I are old men. and we are not cool.
Yeah.
We are dad. And so the champions of role-playing games into the future are going to be the kids themselves, right? They're going to be bringing it to their friends. They're going to be playing it with them. And if it clicks with them, then they're going to keep playing.
Yeah. I'm cool. I'm going to be cool.
You're right. You're cool for a given value of cool, but you're like old man cool. You're not hip and with it.
I'm having a really hard time with turning 40 next year.
I actually really liked 40. 40 was good.
Like, I'll have to get used to it because part of the problem for me is like the adjustment to like I'm not 25 anymore.
There is this like really weird thing that lives in my head where like I am still the person that I was when I was 17.
Right.
And so part of my mentality thinks that I am young and can hang with the youths.
Right.
Right up until I have to sit next to them on the bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, shit, I am so old.
Yeah. I think the thing for me is like, I did a lot of changing between like 18 and 25, and I became the person that I wanted to be much later in life. So I think I've sort of like latched onto that. It's like at the age where I became the person I wanted to be is what age I am, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, as much as I say 17, I think it's actually much more that I'm like perpetually 27.
Yeah.
Like I'm always the same age I was when I was working at the comic shop.
Yeah.
And that ain't true.
No, it's not.
I am so old. I feel it when I'm dealing with these kids. But anyway, why should kids play role-playing games, do you think? Or should they?
So I'm from the school that definitely believes that like role playing is part of like early childhood development, and it's important to develop things like empathy, because you know they need to be able to imagine a world outside themselves, you know, and imagine the perspectives of people different from themselves, which I know sounds borderline impossible to some people these days, but it's a real skill. I think role-playing is super important for that level of development.
Well, it's basically unavoidable as well, right?
Like, yeah.
There is not a single kid in the world that hasn't played some variation of Cops and Robbers.
Right. Well, and I feel like a lot of early childhood educators and developers and stuff like that, developmental people talk about is like, the idea of like imaginative play and stuff like that. I'm like, well, that's literally just role play. Like,
yeah,
they might be making a very mundane role, like the mom of a household, but like they're definitely imagining a role, you know? I think it just happens a lot. And we just don't call it role playing because I don't know, we're scared.
So, you know that thing where I have like a bunch of annoying tics?
Yeah.
One of the ones that I have as a kid that I still find kind of embarrassing now, and I don't do it anymore because my sense of narrative and description has gotten much better. Every time I wanted to change something in the narrative of the game that I was playing with my friends, I would start it by saying, let's say.
Oh, yeah. And just a verbal tic.
Just a verbal tic where like every time I was changing the narrative or like attempting to edit the shared imagined space of the thing that we were doing, it was like, okay, so let's say this thing happens, and then let's say this thing happens instead, and then this thing, let's say this guy shows up, right? And it's just like every listening to myself, like I had it recorded, like somebody was recording me on a video once, and like listening to myself doing it, I cringed really hard. Immediately took it out of my vocabulary. But like that was my role-playing cue.
Yeah.
Right, that was the thing that I was saying as I was like coming up with role-playing scenarios.
Yeah, that is the verbal, now I am role-playing.
Yes, now I have become DM.
The describer of things.
Describer of worlds. Yeah. But yeah, I think like that part of it is super, super important. I think that there's like a bunch of developmental milestones that are easier to reach through role-playing than other things, like communicative, collaborative milestones are a lot easier to facilitate within a role-playing framework.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention just like the educational effects of like crafting narrative and telling story and
sure.
like doing math. Like shiny math rocks are definitely a selling feature for schools.
Oh yeah.
I actually remember like the, there was a teacher that I used to hang out with at the back of his class and joke about how little work I was doing. And he was a big fan of Traveller.
Oh yeah. So,
yeah, we would shoot the shit about role playing games all the time in the back of this class where I was doing no work, and then I failed really bad. then went into like the idiot math that I did quite well in.
Because it's for idiots.
Because it's for dummies, and not actually a dummy. I was just incredibly bored by math.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you think about when you're running a game for kids that like you wouldn't necessarily think about for running an adult game?
So I find myself far more concerned with like, and I know this is like probably bad, but I find myself far more concerned with actively engaging kids and like checking in on their engagement levels and like monitoring how close of attention they're paying. I don't do any of that shit for adults. Like either you're in or you're out. I don't care. Right. like that's, you're not having fun. That's a you problem. You got to find the fun.
Right.
Which is bad. I know it's bad. It's a bad habit. I shouldn't do it, but
is it bad or is it just like, what are you using for that? Like, is it just spotlight control or are you just like, hey, Timmy, are you having fun? Tell me you're having fun.
No, like it's not just spotlight control. Like I'm much better at just like reading cues on kids' faces about this kind of shit, right? Just like
right.
Look at them. Are they fidgeting? Are they paying attention to something? Blah, 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 blah. So that's, and I should be a better person about that, and I'm just not. Because I'm a bad DM.
Do your kids also have ADHD?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Mine like really, really does.
Okay, you know what? I'm lying. Grant might.
Okay.
He is constant. Like, unless he's like actively playing a video game, he's just bored. Just constantly bored. No ability to like entertain himself whatsoever.
Yeah. So, if I was trying to gauge in like the engagement of my players based on fidgeting.
Yeah.
I would constantly be focusing on Thor because he does not know how to sit still.
Yeah.
Right. Like he is one of those people that like you put him in a chair and he finds every way to sit in it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true of Grant. He's okay. Mostly fine. Right. So it's yeah. I mean, it is what it is. No, never going to be perfect.
I mean, I try to take out about 10% of the body horror.
Oh, I don't do any of the body horror, thanks.
No, I actually have to do like a lot of like content editing for myself when dealing with kids. Not because my games tend to be particularly adult in theme.
Mm-hmm.
But just because my natural tendency is to look for the most horrible possible thing that could be happening and veer towards it. Because that's where the challenge lives, right?
Like yeah.
That's where you're going to be facing down your fears and all that. And there's a certain amount of that you can do with kids, but like when dealing with a game with children, it's usually more about like the fun type of adventure.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like I said, I run Saturday morning cartoon things, so
yeah, where mine is like Nightmare on Elm Street in a fantasy world. Nightmare? Nope. Now I gotta figure out which horror movie I am. It was like, Freddy is hunting kids down. That isn't really how mine work.
Not at all.
Maybe like a cabin in the woods? Yeah, my games are like cabin in the woods in a fantasy world.
Oh, okay.
Right, so like...
kind of works.
Action-y stuff. There's a bunch of like weird action-y stuff, but there's also like a bunch of like weird horror shit that gets thrown in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... That's a good note. So like I have to scale it back. I have to try and like keep it fun and friendly and Saturday morning cartoon, which is not my natural inclination.
Yeah.
And I also have to like, I know we joke about it a bit on the podcast, but I have to dial down the pretension so goddamn much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like, my vocabulary is not great for a 7-year-old when trying to like do descriptive things.
Right.
Right. Like there's a certain amount of wordplay that I just can't get away with when dealing with kids. You do have to be a bit more direct in the way that you describe things and like place challenges and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah.
What do you generally keep the same? Like, what things, or even the other way around, like, what do you take from kids' games that you, like, inject into your...
I don't take anything from kids' games.
No?
Because the way I do kids' games is that I start with the adult game and then I reduce things, simplify them.
Okay.
Pull back. What do I keep the same? Not much. That's the thing. It's like... yeah, all the stuff I add to an adult game is like base D&D, you know, like my kids game. I take the tougher stuff out. I simplify their character sheets. I take out some of the skill checks. I make the adventures simpler. I don't know.
Have you seen some of the products that are like, not even necessarily products, but just like somebody has put out like a kid's version of D&D and there's like 35 different kinds.
Oh yeah.
I almost universally hate them.
Yeah.
I've run a few of them.
Yeah.
And like they serve as an okay introduction to some of the mechanical stuff that's going on.
Sure.
But the focus is always on that so heavily that I think it pulls away a bit from like the role-playing function of it. There was a really great clip that's been circulating recently of the lady who was on Daredevil having a chat with the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember their actors' names because I'm not that person.
But... it is Deborah Ann Woll is the Punisher is John.
Cool. So,
sorry, Deborah. John Barenthal.
Barenthal.
His name is John. I wasn't fucking around.
Yeah. So, Deborah Ann Woll is having a conversation with John Barenthal about D&D, and like she's got her own like actual play podcast.
Yeah, right?
Like she is pretty in the scene, and they have this like quick interaction where she starts describing a scene to him and then asks what he does.
Yeah,
right. And that is the entire introduction. They are immediately playing a role playing game.
Yes. Now you are the role play.
Now you are the role play, and it the look on John Barenthal's face at like the wonder that he was expressing at that interaction was just fucking priceless.
Yeah, you could tell he thought D&D was a lot more like involved than what it actually wound up being.
Yeah, like he was immediately invested and like super excited to do the thing that they were doing, right? And it's lovely seeing that. But like that's what I want to see more of when we're dealing with kids in D&D, right? And
definitely,
that's something that I really try to stress at my tables when we're playing D&D is like, you can play entire sessions without even touching your dice, right? Like you don't have to do or engage with any of the mechanical stuff at all if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. And as soon as you start introducing those elements, then the game becomes more complicated, but introducing them in a natural way helps contextualize everything that you're doing. Right. So like most of those products that I'm seeing for like D&D for kids, one of them that I'm thinking of in particular is like, you're at a D&D Adventurer Academy and you're doing your final exam and we're going to release a monster and then you guys are going to fight that monster and then we're going to give you a chance to rest and then we're going to release another monster. And it's just like the whole thing is combat.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, that's closer to the board game thing than, you know, D&D.
Well, that's kind of what I find with all of the products that people are putting together that are aimed at kids.
Sure.
And like, maybe there's products out there that I haven't seen that do a better job of this, but all of them seem to get real into the weeds with the crunchy stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not as like keen on working it into a engaging narrative for kids.
Yeah.
Right. Cause like, if you've spent the last 15 minutes just talking, right, talking about what everybody is doing and having like a conversation and telling the story and describing the circumstances and getting people to tell you what they're going to do. And
sure.
After that 15 minutes, you say, roll me a
D20. Yeah.
Right. First of all, they're going to ask you what a D20 is.
Yeah.
Cause they don't know, right? Like which one is the D20? And that's true for kids and adults that are playing for the first time. 9 times out of 10, they're going to try and roll a D12. But like that impact of like roll me a D20, you don't even tell them what it's for.
Why would you?
Yeah. You have them roll, you have them tell you what the result is. In most cases, if I'm playing a game with kids for the first time, I won't even have them add anything to it. Right. Like it won't be an ability check or a skill or anything like that. It'll just be roll the D20 as it is. And based on the number that you tell me, I will describe what is happening. And we'll do that for a while.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll figure this out later.
Yeah. And then like after we've done that a few times and we have like the rhythm of it, I'll be like, cool. So roll me a D20 and then add your strength.
Yeah.
Right. And that again, just acclimatizes the players to the thing that they're doing. That's like such an integral piece of like the pedagogy. Of
D&D. Okay. Okay.
Right. Like it's how we learn, right?
And yeah.
It's like you have to approach teaching these games to kids the same way that you do teaching them about story, teaching them about math, teaching them about science, right? And if you don't have a plan for that, then you're going to miss things and you're going to like make weird assumptions and your game is going to go off the rails and kids are going to be bored because they're like, all we did was fight 3 monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
As for stuff that I bring from my kids' games to my adult games, I almost always end up bringing back Whimsy.
Okay. I guess that's a thing.
It's missing from my games almost all the time.
Yeah, because you get all up your own ass about dumb shit.
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, it's funny that I'm like stressing out about like the pedagogy of games, and then like the thing that I bring back from that is let's all have fun.
Yeah. What if we brought back Whimsy? He said right after the word pedagogy.
But yeah, like there's a natural inclination towards telling more fairy tale-esque stories with kids.
Sure.
That I kind of tend to forget when I'm playing with adults. So bringing that back is always kind of big for me.
That's good. I truly believe that D&D should be like as escapist as possible, whenever possible. There's enough problems in the real world. I don't want to think about them while I'm mashing monsters to death with a sword. So whimsy definitely helps with that.
Yeah, but I need you to think about like the
ethical consequences. Shut up. I want to make something dead with a big stick.
That dead thing had a family.
Not anymore!
Mashed them 3 rooms ago.
Well, no, I think I sent it to you. I didn't. I might not have sent it to you. You know, very often there's the clip from Oppenheimer where he's going back and forth while two people are debating some situation while he's just kind of wordlessly observing them. And it's like, yeah, this is, you know, people debating spell effects while I sit here patiently waiting to hit something twice with a stick. Like, that's my entire D&D experience. Is, oh, you've got spell effects? Neat. I have fists.
No, and I do try to leave some of that shit at home when I'm playing with kids. All of it. I try to leave all of it, like, at the door when I'm playing with kids. I'm not going to get, like, in the weeds about the ethics of monster killing.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, one monster will be, like, cute.
Sure.
Like, plant the seed of, like, maybe not all monsters are bad, but, like, I don't want to get too into that side of things until he's at least 13.
Yeah, and then from now until then, every bad guy is just murder McBaby killer and just don't worry about it.
Yeah, just like the most cartoonishly evil mustache twirling villain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you haven't tied a princess to the railroad tracks yet.
You know, it's a classic for a reason, and I think I need to bring it back.
It's so good. It's just immediately, like, you know where you stand with this guy and what he's willing to do.
I think the thing I've always had difficulty with is, like, finding a good justification for tying a person to a railroad tracks. Like, I understand
plausible deniability, number one.
Yeah, like, if you tie a hero to the railroad tracks, then it's like, you're killing them without actually having to get your hands dirty. So, like, I get that. But if you have, like, if you're damseling someone.
I think it's honestly mostly just, like, time constraints. Like, we've got shit to do, so we can't spend all day on one murder. Like,
right.
Yeah, we gotta know, okay, this is handled. I can focus my energy elsewhere.
I have a bank to rob at 2 o'clock, and like the murderer is just going to push me.
This lair isn't going to fund itself. I watched a clip of someone today being an HR person for a villain's, or sorry, not an HR person, the project manager of a villain's new secret lair.
Oh no!
Too real.
Oh my god!
It's just them in one of their daily huddles, like, okay. Oh,
I actually think that would be a lot of fun to roleplay. Would just be like the corporate side of like being a villain, like all of the cronies in like the C-suite of a villain's evil organization.
Oh, sure. I mean, I know you haven't watched The Simpsons like at all, but like Max Power is my favorite supervillain ever because not only is he a supervillain, but he is just like objectively a good boss to Homer and like cares about the people in his organization. And that's why it was so hard for Homer to quit. Because, like, despite him being a piece of shit, like, I guess on a global scale, he does care about the people under him. Which
people
is very...
still work for Jeff Bezos, so, like, it's...
They work for Jeff Bezos, but don't work with Jeff Bezos, you know?
No, that's true.
Also, like, do people actually work for him anymore? Like, I thought he was, like, out.
Oh, I haven't been keeping up with that at all. He's just, like, my go-to Lex Luthor.
Oh, sure.
Right, like,
you know what? Hey, I propose we switch all references of Jeff Bezos to Elon Musk, who is an actual piece of shit and still actively involved day to day in his companies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What a terrible person.
Just awful. Just actual crotch rot as a human being.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't sue us.
Ooh, no.
Oh, no.
Take my nothing.
Yeah. So, I don't remember how we got onto that topic.
I don't remember either. Whatever. Anyways, unimportant.
Talking about kids. One of the notes that I have on here is parenting can be the DIY way of finding a gaming group.
Oh, God. Yeah, actually, unfortunately.
Just have another kid because we need somebody to play the cleric.
I know a couple people at the store that like that is 100% what they are doing. And I honestly, I don't agree with it. Like, I don't think you should do that to your children.
I mean, what if one of them wants to play sports?
I mean, I think you should find ways to interact with your children and encourage their hobbies. But like, yeah, if my kid wants to play sports, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't necessarily want to, but I can. I'm not going to force them to like a thing that I like. I will let them try it once or twice, but I'm not, definitely not like, hey, this is like the family thing to do. There's, without naming names, there is a family that comes by the store, and the dad has clearly sucked his entire family into playing the One Piece card game with him because that's what he wants to do. And I feel bad for his daughter, who has to find ways to express herself by like by cosplaying as people from the show, because that's what she actually wants to do, is play dress up,
right,
and not play her dad's weird Japanese card game with giant anime titties. Like, I don't know how his wife is like okay with their like 8-year-old son, you know, playing with some of these cards.
You remember that lady that came to Warp for a while that was like serving tea as just like a free add-on because she wanted to be part of the community but hated magic?
No, I don't at all. That's so strange. I was not a big part of the community at Warp. I was like,
yeah,
friends with people there and a frequent customer, but I was not part of like the community, especially because I like wasn't in magic at that time.
Yeah, I got some people pitching some weird ideas occasionally. Like, we had somebody who did their like massage practicum
at the store. Don't do that. Don't massage nerds.
It was fine. It was a lot of people enjoyed it, and the person
I don't believe you massaging. I don't believe you. I refuse to believe that.
But yeah, like this lady dressed up in a kimono and served tea to whoever wanted some while we were doing magic tournaments.
Disgusting. She should be in jail.
That kid doing cosplay to not have to think about doing card game.
I mean, she still plays the card game, which I feel worse about. But you can tell, like, yeah, she's just kind of along for the ride.
That's kind of the opposite of like the question that we opened this with, of like, would we be okay with the next generation just not wanting to be playing D&D?
I guess, yeah.
Because like, we're in a generation now where the like high school football star pressuring his kid into playing football has a D&D equivalent now.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
I try not to be like that guy, but there's part of me that misses the like underground nature of my hobbies or what they used to be, you know?
I don't think it's even necessarily like the underground nature of it for me. It's just like the fans of the thing are old enough now to have like kids and grandkids. Mm-hmm. And we now have like generational D&D players.
Trauma? Oh.
I mean, yeah, generational trauma too, but like there are people who started playing in the like late 60s.
True.
Who taught their kids how to play D&D, and now their grandkids are playing D&D, and that like lineage has some weight to it now.
Yeah,
that it wouldn't have like when my parents were old enough to play D&D, it was a dorky thing that nobody cared about.
Right,
and like if you did care about it, then you were a dweeb and you deserved to get your face pushed in the mud.
That's true.
When I was growing up, it was still a nerdy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents don't play.
No.
I don't think your parents don't play either.
Oh, God, no. Not in your life.
My uncle played. But, like, he and I never played together. And so, like, I didn't have any of that, like, my dad played D&D this way type stuff. So, like, I do wonder, like, how much are people going to be getting involved in these nerdy hobbies because their parents are like pressuring them to be involved.
Yeah. Peer pressure from your own parents over nerd stuff. That's a tough one.
And like now there's an opportunity to go pro, right? Like
for lack of a better term.
We have people who are making a living playing these games, and there is a very real opportunity to be the next Dimension 20, to be the next Critical Role.
Right? Yeah. Like
the opportunities are there. That market is brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new. So if you have something like new and interesting to add to that, then there are opportunities there. So yeah, I do wonder about the like pressure side of playing with kids. I would never force a kid to play anything.
Sure. Because you're a good dad. Yeah, whatever. I get it.
No, not that. Just like.
No, it's fine.
If everybody's playing soccer and my kid doesn't want to play soccer.
Right.
I also don't want to play soccer, so I'm going to sit with my kid.
Yeah, this analogy is falling apart quickly.
I don't know, but like if everybody's playing like Canasta or something, or like just a standard ass card game, and my kid doesn't want to play, that's fine. He can do what he wants, right? Like he doesn't have to be engaged in this thing that everybody else is doing.
What an absolutely insane choice of example.
Canasta?
Yeah.
I don't actually know how to play Canasta.
The fact that's the first thing that sprung your mind when you scrambled for an activity.
I was thinking like bridge, maybe.
So far tonight you brought up Canasta and Tiddlywinks, and now
bridge.
Yeah, and, like talk about the prematurely aging. Like, holy shit.
I also don't know how to play bridge.
Oh yeah, I bet.
I used to love bridge boards.
Okay.
But like just for like moving the pieces around, right? Like there's something very tactilely satisfying about putting the pips into the like spaces
on a
bridge board.
For a similar reason, I've been jealous of I wish I don't want to say this in a weird way. I wish I had been born into an Asian family for the cultural legacy of Mahjong and like a good Mahjong table that was something that you owned. Instead, I was born in Canada, so I got Crokinole, which
not better.
No, I mean not worse, but definitely a different skill.
I mean you could start a Mahjong tradition in your family.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to invest in another hyper-specific giant board for playing playing some dumb game.
I also don't know how to play Mahjong. We're just going through a lot of like classic games that I just don't know how to play.
I think it involves matching stuff?
Yeah.
I know that's not a good description.
The times that I have been walked through it reminded me of dominoes,
but okay.
Was distinct enough to be confusing.
I'm just going to pick up a copy of Dragon's Castle and like pretend that that's just good enough.
I did play Sekhmet today, though.
Like speaking of classic ass games.
Yeah. That was interesting. It's got some strange strategy to it with like keeping your pieces clumped so nobody can jump.
Yeah, it is not my cup of tea, but it's definitely, like you said, a classic.
Yeah. But no, we're going through a lot of classic games that I have not played.
We used to play a lot of backgammon. So my dad was a big backgammon guy.
I also do not know the rules to backgammon.
Oh my god. That's okay.
Yeah,
This is not the teach Chris to play backgammon hour, but it's getting dangerously close.
I feel like we may have to do an episode that's just like all of the like classic games that I don't know how to play, and just like learning how to play them.
I don't know if I've ever told the story to you or on the podcast, but we discovered after playing backgammon with my dad for like 40 years or whatever, that my dad has been cheating the entire time.
cheating or just didn't know the rules?
No, cheating. Now, unintentionally cheating.
Okay.
So he was taught to play backgammon by his grandmother.
Right.
I guess she was the original cheater because she would just constantly go first. She'd be like, yeah, I'll be the dealer. I'll go first or whatever. Something like that along those lines. And it turns out going first is like actually a really big advantage in that game.
Yes.
He
says so, that he understands the rules of backgammon.
Yeah. No, not backgammon. This is the cribbage story.
Right.
Yeah. So my dad just assumed that he would just always go first. And so it took, like, his, my mom would not play a ton of games with him for various reasons. Because, you know, like when we were on vacation as kids, like they wouldn't have a lot of time alone together. And then when they were, like, whatever. It was just only recently have they had more time where they're just like traveling together and hanging out. They went on a, they did a tour of the East Coast the other year. And like next year they want to go do a little bit of Europe. You know, so that they're going to be starting to more frequently snowbird, you know, down in Arizona. So they've had more time just hanging out together and they played a bunch of cribbage for a while. And now my mom is pretty good at board games when she's paying attention. As a kid, she played a lot of Trivial Pursuit with me, got extremely mad when I beat her at it, which is because she is an extremely competitive person. And after playing a bunch of cribbage with my dad, she was super frustrated because she would not beat him very often. She's like, there's no way I'm this bad at this game that I've played this much. Not with Dennis. You know? So she looked up the rules and then was like, aha! You're not supposed to be going first every time.
It's like going first in Go.
Yeah.
Every time, and then just not giving the extra points to whoever's playing black.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, like suddenly his win rate went way down. And I think that's why he plays it a lot less now too. Because I find that my dad will want to play games with me, but when and what and how often is entirely contingent on his likelihood of winning. Like, we played probably 10 games of Splendor together. He has never won it a single time. He doesn't want to play Splendor with me anymore. Not, he doesn't want to like watch what I'm doing or learn or get better. He just doesn't want to play Splendor anymore.
This is explaining so many personality traits. Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe it's just because my parents didn't force me to play any games. That's the reason I don't know the rules to crib, because my parents played cribbage a lot.
Yeah.
That was like the thing that you did when you went to Grandma Judy's place.
Okay.
Like, she smoked a lot of cigarettes, she drank a lot, and she played cribbage. That's,
yeah,
like her whole thing. And so like they played cribbage a lot. I just never played with them. Right? They
fair.
Invited me once. I didn't get it, bounced off it, and then they just didn't bother inviting me again. And so like, yeah, the idea of like forcing my kids to play games that I like seems really alien. But then again, like, I don't know. I've got like his media must see list. It's just like these are movies that I think that you should see before you're 18.
But those things, and I'm going to defend this list for you. Like, a lot of that stuff forms a significant portion of just like the generic cultural, like, common language that we have.
Right.
Like, there's a certain level of just media literacy that you need to have to not sound like a space alien when talking to people.
Well, it started, that list started because of memes. Right, like,
right.
He would start showing me memes for things that he had never seen and didn't understand the context of, but he still thought they were funny.
Yeah, he wasn't asking for clarity. He's just like, this is funny. And you're like, do you know why that's funny? He's like, no, don't care.
Yeah, like he showed me Samwise Gamgee talking about potatoes. And I was like,
and he's just like, ha ha, potatoes are funny.
Yeah, like, yes, that is objectively hilarious, but you do not understand the context in which this thing is framed. Or like, oh, what was it? We were watching a movie that he wanted to watch. I think it was Shrek. Yeah, we were watching Shrek, and there's a moment in Shrek where Fiona does the like Matrix.
The like, dodge. Trick. Oh,
She like jumps up and does like the bullet time.
Yeah,
hanging
the,
kick.
The one that Carrie Ann Moss did. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like she did that, and he thought it was cool, and I thought that was the coolest thing he'd ever seen. And I was like, "You've never seen the Matrix. You have no idea what that is."
Yeah. Why is this cool and a good reference? No? All right.
Yeah. So like that's part of why I started putting together a list, is just like these are all of the things that are part of my zeitgeist that we're building upon on the internet now, like I feel are important for like a foundation in those things. But like we're taking it at his speed is the other thing, right? Like we watch movies fairly regularly.
Yeah.
But he has some say in what it is that we're going to watch. And right now, like, he and I are both on a bit more of an anime kick than, like, movies. So we've just been doing more of that.
Hey, but that's like, fine. It should be illegal, but it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should put together, like, a board game must playlist.
Oh, that's far too easy for me.
Okay. Well, that's going to be our next episode, then. It's just, you going through every game that I have to play with my son for him to have like a good basis in board games.
You can't introduce that idea to me in the middle of a podcast because now that's all I'm making for the rest of the podcast.
We're not in the middle. It's right at the end. So that's I don't know. Do you have any last thoughts about playing RPGs with kids?
I think you should do it. If you are a person who consumes role-playing games in some way, you should definitely do it with your kids. But, like, I would suggest, in the sort of the way that you have, finding a way to do it that, I don't want to say, like, removes your control, but definitely doesn't like. I don't think DMing for your kids is a great idea when you're first introducing them to it. I think it's something that you should experience together, as part of a group and sort of bond over that. And then if they really like it, then you know, go from there. But that would be my biggest thing, is like, if you're gonna introduce your kids to role playing games, put some distance between yourself and them.
So we talked about this a bit before the pod. So like I'll clarify for listeners. I have recently introduced my son to play by post role-playing games, by which I mean I sent him a random text that was a description of a cave in which he had woken up, and his response to the text was no, and I responded, "You deny the cave. The cave persists." And it was hilarious to me, and he has not engaged with this activity at all. Like I've been putting a lot of thought into these descriptions and like coming up with little scenarios, and like his friend stole his phone for a little while and responded to me, but like he has completely bounced off of it. And maybe that's the thing, is like I'm just I shouldn't be DMing for my kid on this platform.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Hey, thanks for making it all the way through this episode of No Plot, Only Lore. If you're looking for more, you can always find us at noplotonlylore.com and on all the very best podcast platforms. If you like what you heard today, please share, rate, and review the show to feed my never-ending need for attention and validation.